Yes, welcome. Start.
All right. Well, I'll introduce, I'd like to introduce Aaron LeDuc. And, you know, this, maybe it was Dr. Howard or someone had mentioned, and again, you know, if there's ever an area any of you are interested in learning more about, just let us know. So, you know, it's a good opportunity at workshops to introduce some of the programming that we do here at the college. So, so with that, Aaron LeDuc is our director for the Center for Women and Men, and she's going to give us an update. And I know some of us are probably a little bit more familiar than others, but we, you know, we have new board members, so I think this will be a good opportunity to dive a little deeper into the center there and some of the things we do. So with that, Aaron, you have the floor.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. I guess I tend to move in teacher mode, so I'll try to stay put so you can hear me. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the time with you very much. I'm going to go through an overview, and hopefully this is queued up. This is our team here in the Center for Women and Men. You may recognize some of these folks, and I'll go into more detail about what each one of them does and the programs that they run. We're entirely grant funded in the center. So everyone sort of has their own cohort, their own program, very case management approach in the Center for Women and Men. We do have an advisory board. I'm sure you recognize some of the beautiful faces in that photo from left to right. We have Sharon Alfield, who just retired, Keith's assistant not long ago, Mr. Vice President Keith Kennedy. Our founder, one of our founders, Ellen O'Shaughnessy, next to Billy Wheeler, County Council, Victoria Eamon, our chair, and you know Dr. Mary Bruno, myself, and then Allison Bonillo, and then Tony Diobel, who spent a great deal of time working for the college and several grants. He was a Fresh Start for Men instructor. He did Project Speak, and he spent some time in one of our C-Campus programs. Isaline was still on the clock, probably preparing a board report the day we took this picture, so she's not in it. And we also have the pleasure of Mayor Heidi Herzberg is on our board, and our founder, Dot Moore, who was one of the founders for the center and then a beloved faculty here in the college. Still very involved. So here's a list of our programs and our services. I'll go into each detail of each. Our Fresh Start program was really the crown jewel, the beginning of the center. 45 plus years ago, Fresh Start is what Ellen and Dot, how they started. It was the Women's Center at that time, and they were helping women to get into the workforce. When I present to each Fresh Start class that comes in, I explain to them a little bit about our history. And when you think about, number one, a grant-funded program that's still a grant-funded program 45 years later, and then also the fact that it's evolved so beautifully, but it was only 45 years ago that we were helping women get into the workforce. And that was it was funded by Displaced Homemakers, which was one of the line item vetoes a couple years ago. It's now funded by Perkins, Carl D. Perkins. So we appreciate Gina Stafford very much and all the hard work that she puts in to make sure that we remain funded on target. So that was the baby of the Women's Center, and it's evolved. We eventually had a Fresh Start for Men and a Fresh Start for Women, and then as funding and things changed, now it is a completely co-ed inclusive class. We have six of them a year, and each course, each workshop, it's a free transition program. Each one loads right into it. It works with the college calendar so that it loads right into the next semester or a session where they can enroll in classes. So, but we keep six going a year, and that there's only it's a two-woman operation in that program. And then I'll go into some the other programs as well, but New Directions helps our vocational students, CTE, career technical students, with supplies, childcare, books, tuition, supplemental items to help with those programs. We have a Department of Justice grant out of the Office of Violence Against Women, and I'll go into more detail about that program. And then our childcare access means parents in school, C-Campus program. So we're helping our student parents afford childcare so they can remain in school. And then also we're serving a whole family so that students are in a licensed accredited daycare facility with one of our 21 partners throughout Volusia and Flagler. So we're educating a family, essentially. And then the services that are in the program, you've heard of that Homeless and Hungry Initiative, the 10-point plan that was paved and supported by all of you, and Dr. Labasso, of course, and Farouk Husseini. Our Career Ready Clothing Closet for men and women is still, you've probably saw that when you took the tour. And of course, our Falcon Fuel grab and go snacks, and then the full food pantry. We'll talk more about that. Votran is extremely supportive of what we do here at Daytona State, and they supply us with emergency 31-day bus passes for our students who are on a homeless exemption waiver. We offer free printing in the center for anyone who can't afford to fill that printing card. And then we also have a quiet room. I don't know if you saw that on your tour. What's interesting about that is the first time we had the Department of Justice OVW grant, we developed this quiet room to have a safe place for anyone on campus that needed a safe place to maybe make a phone call or use a computer. If a student is in a situation at home of domestic violence, their phones and their computers might be being tracked, and their cars and things like that. So it's important to have a safe place. Oftentimes, school is one of the places they're allowed to go, and so they find, you know, refuge here. And so we had a quiet room at the other center as part of the first grant, just so they'd have a phone and a computer and just a place that they could just be quiet and you know, do what they need to do or get some business taken care of or develop their safety plan or what have you. And so what's beautiful about that is it evolved into what we didn't know is one of those things when you build it, they will come. It turned into a place where students who might be nursing needed a place to go that wasn't the bathroom. Students who pray several times a day that didn't really have a place, we put a mat in there. And so it has a lot of different uses, which has been surprising and nice at the same time. I'm sorry, Lynn, I have to click on that button at the top. I don't want to get in your bubble. Thank you. So I'm going to show you, we're going to go a little bit into Fresh Start, but I want you to hear from our students. So we have a short video that they created. That's good. Yeah.
Opportunity, an educational reset, an opportunity for individuals who are kind of lost in the way.
It's a life-changing program, and it helps to set direction into where you want to go, what do you want to be, where do I go from here? After a very bad relationship, I fled with two little girls, $400.
My experience with school wasn't the greatest. I got bullied a lot, so I sort of jumped around through school, and then I ended up just dropping out and getting my GED. And that's where I just sort of stayed for I was 17, so 5 years.
I picked up a brochure of the Fresh Start program in the office of the Public Housing Authority in New Smyrna Beach. And when I found out through the Fresh Start program I could go to college, that was a life changer for me.
It was at a point in my life where I wanted more fulfillment, and it was great that I met Fresh Start at my niece's open house.
And that was a changing moment for me.
It gave me a sense of I can start over, and I can do it differently this time. I can do it better.
With Fresh Start, we were equipped with, in order for you to be successful, sometimes you have to say no to focus on you. And I was more dead set on focusing on trying to help everybody else. The staff are so caring. They give you the individual attention that you need. You get the one-on-one support if you're struggling with anything. And it was more like a family. It's like a family there.
We would break out into small groups and talk to each other about different scenarios. We could be open and honest with each other without having to worry about being judged.
I recommend Fresh Start mainly because it's a great opportunity and a great entry point into college. A lot of people are scared of college.
It will give you what you need to move forward and make the changes that you need to make to be successful in the community, in your family, in your life.
I would definitely recommend Fresh Start to others because some of us need just that, a fresh start.
So I finished my program, and then I enrolled in college and started two-year AS program in accounting technology.
My journey since Fresh Start has been amazing. I enrolled in the early childhood education apprenticeship program.
I'm currently going for the photographic technology degree.
Teachers with students who struggle.
As is for successful, and if you have a successful day, Ms. Baxter has snacks here.
I started July 14th of 2004 at the Housing Authority. In 2010, I finished my bachelor's degree program, and I was appointed the executive director in 2017.
Oh, definitely. It was just starting my whole life over. I was at a point where I wanted more in life. I was just sleeping in, playing video games, and that's fun, but you want more. So now that I'm getting up every day and just doing things and just living life, it just feels like I'm fulfilled.
One word I would use to describe Fresh Start for people would be hope.
Helpful.
Success. Fresh Start equals success.
I'm a first generation college student, and both of my girls have gone through college now.
Most definitely, I would like to thank all of those at Fresh Start for allowing me the opportunity to be a part.
Keep on keeping on. That's kind of my saying. You can't give up.
Next to creating a life, the best thing a man can do is save one.
So if you were to go online and see, or a student would go online, this is what they would see. So our participants in Fresh Start program will. We do a lot of career and program exploration. We are funded by Perkins, and we find, of course, that those students in Fresh Start are looking, they're more geared towards the CTE programs, our vocational programs. They're more hands-on students. We find our AA students know that they're AA students. They know their track. They know their path. Those that aren't quite sure might be more CTE. So we do a deep dive, in really in-depth campus tours, and program managers pre-COVID would come into the classroom and do it and explain what they do. When we go and look at dental assistant, they're in there with looking at everything. And so we do a real in-depth career and program exploration. They complete the entire enrollment process step by step with us. They're building self-confidence and resiliency, employability skills. We're doing a lot of financial literacy, not just, you know, financial aid, but we're really doing strong financial literacy and exploring scholarship opportunities. One of the assignments that they have to do is fill out our scholarship with the foundation. They're learning and growing together. I think it was Arletha that said it's a family. Every class is sort of a family that becomes a cohort that goes through and supports each other. And there's Fresh Start reunions out there that have that go on. That, you know, and of course they're getting one-on-one guidance. We have a transition specialist who tracks them and is with them as sort of their mentor and their guide all the way through graduation. As we look at our data, about 74% of Fresh Start students do transition into a program at Daytona State. And of course, Perkins is a one-year grant, so we're looking at the students that go from Fresh Start directly into a program the next available semester. So if we were to look at students that go from Fresh Start into the college as a whole, that number would be higher, because sometimes they just need a little more time, or they've got to sort out family things or what have you before they can get it in line. So a lot of them do. It's more than 74%. This represents the amount of students that go immediately in the next semester that we track. Any questions so far about Fresh Start?
Did they have special, like, academic tutoring or counseling, or is that just part of the normal tutoring and writing center and things of that nature?
So I'm glad you asked that, because that's part of the program. So we have someone come from the writing center come and introduce themselves. someone from academic advising comes and introduces themselves. So part of the reason, you know, if you ever spoken to an adult or even sometimes a student coming out of high school, the anxiety of coming to school and learning our language, it's a whole new world here. That's what we're sort of taking care of in Fresh Start, because we actually have those folks come to us now. It's digital, obviously, now it's virtual. But at least now when they walk into the Writing Center, they've already met Kristen, who has already helped them create their scholarship essay. So they're comfortable once they are a Daytona State student saying, Kristen, would you help me, or can you point me in the right direction? So those warm handoff connections is what we're building in Fresh Start. So same goes with academic advising as a whole. And so we have a representative in every area that comes to the class. Obviously, now it's virtual. The beautiful thing about COVID is every program in the center has been strengthened because of our digital process. So we never missed a beat in Fresh Start. We pivoted the whole thing just like the college did. Everything went online. And so now we're able to offer, and this was my goal. In fact, it's almost like I spoke it into existence. I was getting ready to rewrite the grant, and I said, you know, I'd really love to offer an online Fresh Start option for someone who just can't get to us because of childcare or what have you. And they looked at me like, you've lost it, Aaron. Like, this is too much. And then boom, COVID hit, and here we are. So now we're able to have about 6 students in the class who really just either don't have the technology or just don't have the skill set. And really need that hands-on, that face-to-face setting. But then we have a hybrid model where everything in Fresh Start is built on a D2L core shell. So they're already introduced to our core shell. So when they become a student, they're not intimidated by the core shell because they've already navigated it and learned it through Fresh Start. So we have students that can handle that or are doing a hybrid model. And then we have a couple that they kind of have to go through a vetting process to make sure they can handle it, much like we do with our online students. That can do fully online Fresh Start. So I've got my wish, but it just took COVID to get it. So I hope that answers your question. It was a little bit long-winded. I apologize. I could go on all day and brag about a program.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you. 74% transition into the college. The other 26%, do you follow them, or what are they doing, or have they created something that they wanted to do, or what have you?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So it's interesting because actually one of the students that graduated today, we had a fresher ceremony today for our class that just completed their program. One of those students talked about in her speech, at the end of every graduation ceremony, they do a speech, which is the scariest thing for our students to do. They hate speech. Not Fresh Start students, because they've already done it. Some of you have been able to see them, and they're incredible. But she spoke about that she wanted to do Fresh Start. She had applied. I think she even tried and just couldn't get through it. This was her, she was a CNA. She lost her brother. She'd been taking care of him, so she had a death in the family. She was his caregiver and a two-year-old. Lot going on. So this time she was really ready for Fresh Start, and she completed. Because we stay on them, like, they might start and then, okay, life happens, they can't finish, they're not ready for the whole commitment. They're still in touch with us. They still know us. They're still connected, and we still have all of their information. So we're still sort of emailing and checking in, here's our next class schedule. And she talked about that. She said, Ms. Sherry was not going to let me. She was never going to give up on me. And that's Sherry Rogers is our recruiter and our instructor. And then Petrina Amomelli is sort of a co-teacher and a transition specialist. So the two of them tag team this really beautifully from start to finish. And so some of them now, when we were funded by Displaced Homemaker, the objective was not necessarily to come to the college. The objective was them, if they were underemployed or unemployed, to get a job or a higher paying job. And if that meant they were coming to the college to do that, great. That was under the Displaced Homemaker funding. Now that we are funded differently, we're not looking at that. We're not tracking them to see where they are at this point. But we do know, because we track them every year and we've been tracking them consistently, that sometimes they do come to the college a couple semesters later. I just can't count them as far as grant objectives. So that's why that percentage would be higher if we were able to, because Perkins a one-year grant. I can only report within the, June 30, July 1 to June 30th, and then we move on to the next year. So. So many of you have attended the Women's History Luncheon every year. These were our 4 rising stars that were going to be on stage, providing you their speech. And so just a little bit about Miss Tiffany. She completed her baking and pastry, culinary arts, and now she's moving into, to answer your question, it was a great timing, now she's moving into hospitality management. Megan here is a phlebotomist. She finished her phlebotomy program, and she's working as a phlebotomist. Victor completed his program, and then he recently moved a couple months ago for a higher-paying job in Atlanta. And then Laura, who we just saw today, because now Laura comes back. She's been connected to the center for about four or five years now. She was a Fresh Start graduate when I first got here in 2016 in this position. So Laura went through firefighting and EMT 4.0, highest achieving student, highly recognized by her instructors. And so she was, and so now she comes and speaks to every Fresh Start class and encourages them. And then she always still comes to graduation to celebrate them. I get goosebumps just thinking about it. So I just saw her today, but I'm really excited to announce that she was just welcomed on by the new Smyrna Beach Fire Department as the sixth woman among about 50 employees for New Smyrna Beach. She's the sixth female to be hired, Hispanic woman. And they are actually going to pay. She was getting ready to do paramedics because it's very difficult to get a job as a firefighter without that EMT fire and paramedic piece. So she's getting ready to do paramedic, and they hired her without it. Now they're going to pay for her to do the paramedic piece. So here's a couple of our students that you might recognize also. Jessica recently was featured on social media for Community College Month. She frequents the center, utilizes much of, we know her very well, great student. The picture up in the top right was one of our virtual classes during COVID. And then bottom right, that's Anne. I don't know if any of you know Anne, but she was, when we were funded by Displaced Homemakers, we were able to have Fresh Start in Flagler, New Smyrna, and Deltona, as well as Daytona. And Anne was a Deltona student. I remember sitting in the room with her when we were talking about, she was telling her story of how her family always said she should be an elementary school teacher. And she just didn't want to be an elementary school teacher. She really wanted to do building and construction. So we all looked at her and was like, well, let's go. Let's do it. You know, and she did. She graduated Fresh Start. She went on to do building and construction. And then she was hired by the college to be an instructor in the program, and then later on was featured on a billboard in DeLand. I don't know if you ever saw that billboard, so we're very proud of all. And this is Amber, and she utilized New Directions. So this is a program that's been on, oh gosh, I think it's at least 15 years. New Directions pays for childcare, textbooks, transportation, uniforms, and educational materials and supplies for our career and technical students, our vocational students. It's supplemental instruction if a student on a need-based. So, and we focus on the non-traditional students. So you're thinking like your female firefighters, your male nurses, or anybody in a extreme need-based. This is Amber with Sherry Rogers, who runs this program. Amber, she graduates now this semester, and she's going to stay on with us and complete her AS in hospitality management. But what's also kind of neat about her is that's Kyle's sister, and you met Kyle in the video. And so we recruited Kyle. Sherry, who's the instructor and the recruiter, goes to the parent nights, the middle school parent nights. And we're not there for the middle school students. We're there for the parents, obviously, for Fresh Start. And that's where we recruited Kyle, who was taking his niece through parent night. And so we ended up being able to serve Amber as well. So anyway, about New Directions, interesting, we have two childcare programs. So a couple years ago, we realized there was an increased need, I think a lot based on your data, Dr. Locklear, for more childcare support. And so with New Directions, we pay for 100% of the childcare. A little bit different than C Campus, and I'll explain that program. So our Department of Justice, Office of Violence Against Women campus program, obviously the mission there, strengthening the response of institutions of higher education to the crimes of sexual assault, domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking, enhancing collaboration among our campuses, local law enforcement, and victim advocacy organizations. This is not a forward-facing program. This is more of a behind-the-scenes program. It's a little bit administrative in nature. Christina De La Osa is our coordinator of this of this program, and we work in collaboration with Volusia Rape Crisis Center, Family Life Center in Flagler, our Seventh Circuit State Attorney's Office, and our Men and Women in Blue here in Daytona Beach PD. And they really sort of wrap around the college in an effort to make sure that we're keeping our students are safe and have the resources and understand how to keep themselves safe. Freddie Falcon, United Against Violence, he was created as a branding when the first time we had this grant. This grant you can get only 3 times. We had it once already. It was housed in campus safety, and now we have it again. So as part of this grant cycle, we have a care committee as part of the objectives, and we have 3 tracks under that care committee. And the care committee decided their name, and they named themselves the care committee to cultivate awareness through relationships and empowerment. But the 3 tracks are the prevention track, the student conduct track, and the law enforcement track. And so those 3 tracks really focus on a lot of training, education, and awareness, and strengthening our programs. Neat thing about this grant, it is already part of several curriculum licensure and state requirements, for example, in cosmetology, nursing, education, and our first responders. They have to have a certain amount of domestic violence curriculum built in for our students who are seeking licensure. So this grant, that's kind of what this grant is designed for, to help support more sustainable and reliable programming to meet those requirements, in addition to help train students and staff. Any questions so far before I go on to the next program? Because it's a lot. A lot of information. All right, so child care access means parents in school. Here's just a little, I love a good infograph. So kind of gives you a snapshot of our 1920 report. We served 64 student parents, but that's 112 awards because we served them from one semester to the next. So it was 112 would be the duplicated amount. That equated to 73 kiddos who were in childcare, licensed accredited childcare facilities, and you can see how many hours that means. And I love the economic impact. I mean, that's just huge to me to see, you know, over $269,000 went from this grant into childcare facilities that are licensed, accredited, and, you know, educating our students' kiddos. This is a merit-based program. There is a minimum GPA, and our student parents are some of the most hardworking, as you know, high-achieving students. Oftentimes, when I would come to the board meetings when we could be here, you would be recognizing a student, and when Rebecca Collins was in the room as well, she'd be texting me, "That's a C-Campus student," and then I'd get a text from Zoe, who's watching online, going, "And she was also a homeless student," you know, so our students are really working hard, and sometimes you all don't know, you're celebrating their success, and you don't know that they're, you know, they have all these other barriers and challenges that they're pushing through, so that's really just a sweet moment for us when that happens. But so the average GPA was 3.19, and we graduated 24 students in 1920, and you can see what area they went into. A couple other things to brag about. C-Campus is about over 20 years old. It's a 3-year grant that we just wrote, you know, we're getting ready to rewrite for that, but we've had it a little over 20 years at the college. In our last Outstanding Student Awards convocation, the college recognized Amber Diefendorf for Bachelor's of Science Exceptional Education, and Amber is a C-Campus parent. She graduated fall 2020 and accepted a position at Holly Hill School where she had completed her service hours as a student here. And we also recognized Angel Nunn in the Business Administration Program in Paralegal Studies. She's set to graduate this semester and was recently approved for independent study as she plans to stay with DSC for her bachelor's degree. A little bit different for the funding that's important for C-Campus. Now, I talked about New Directions pays for 100% of childcare. C-Campus pays for up to 75% of childcare, and that's based on enrollment. So if a student is full-time, then we'd give them the max amount of that 75%. So the way that we write it, which is unique, and other schools have followed our model, is let's say that we write this grant and we say we're gonna support 100 students. We project 100 students that we're going to support with C-Campus. So at a full-time rate, these students are getting 75% of their child care paid. So it's a skin in the game approach. So we pay the child care facility the whole 100%. The student will then pay in student accounts their portion of that. That 25% goes into an account. All of that accumulated funding goes to support additional student parents. So even though we said, that we were going to award 100 with the C campus funding, because of our model, we end up doing 10 or 15 more being able to serve 10 or 15 more students. This works, like I said, as a skin in the game approach. It also encourages students to go full time. A lot of students will be considering part time, but then when they realize they can get 75% of their child care paid, they'll take that extra class and be more likely to graduate on time. So that's a retention model. So some of the things we do in C Campus, we get to have a lot of fun in this program. These are just a couple activities we did during COVID. We hosted a virtual painting party, where we partnered with a local paint companies, and they shipped all the materials to the students, and then we went virtual, and they learned how to paint flamingos. But it was a family affair, and they had a blast, as you can see. And then this was a recent Disney movie trivia and pizza. Rebecca Collins and Zoe, they sent out virtual $25 virtual gift cards for the pizza in advance, so the families could order pizza and enjoy trivia night. And then they had a participation drawing for Bass Pro Shop gift card, and there were two winners for that. But what's really neat about this is on the picture on the right, you can see mom doing her homework and the kiddos kind of just enjoying the night with dinner's taken care of and just, competing with Disney trivia. And then here you have all the family members sort of working together to hang out. So that was really neat. All right, so our one-stop shop, part of our 10-point plan for homeless and food insecurity. This is just a snapshot of, what students walk into the center asking for. So you'll see things at the bottom like C Campus, New Directions. Most of our students don't find us for programming just by walking in. Those numbers don't really represent how many we're serving, because this is just the walk-in. We utilize Who's Next software that the entire college uses. So we capture that data when they walk in. So when they're walking in, we're capturing what they walked in the door for. So that's what makes this kind of interesting and can really drive our programming. So the majority, as you can see, is food. The Falcon Fuel snacks was a big one, and you can see the time frame. So this is the last year, and even with COVID, we had a good amount. And there's a few months in here that we were shut down. So obviously, these numbers would have been a lot higher had it wouldn't be for COVID. So normally, the numbers are in the thousands, up over 1,000 the year prior. So food is the biggest, and transportation. We have quite a few students that come to the computer lab and print. Now that COVID impacted us, a lot more faculty are using the D2L course shell, so we anticipate less printing needs. Any questions about anything there? This is a snapshot of what the pantry looks like, or did earlier in the week, last week. So we have strong commitment to the community. I talked earlier, we have 21 licensed and accredited child care centers that we're working with throughout Volusia and Flagler for C Campus and New Directions. We have a strong partnership with DCF. There is a brand new care coordination program. DCF is really working hard at their branding and their reputation, so to speak, to be a support for families versus, the folks that have to come and disrupt family life. So they developed this care coordination program, where it's a case management program that it's an opt-in. If families say, I would like help and support, they can opt into this program. So we met with them, and we've always had a dotted line to SNAP. Zoe Messenger, our homeless liaison, that's something she's done. What we've always done in the center is to help students fill out their food assistance benefits, and we're strengthening those partnerships always to try to help students troubleshoot that. Students aren't always eligible for SNAP. There's a lot of rules and things like that, and they have to be working a certain amount. So if a student's not working, even though they're in school, they might not be eligible for SNAP. So that's one of the things that we help navigate with the students and educate them, because they don't understand why they got denied for benefits. And so we can help in that way. I sit on the board for Volusia County Human Services. One of the programs that was so near and dear to us is the Economic Self-Sufficiency Program, and the center is a referral source. There's a few, Hope Place, there's about four or five in Volusia County that can refer students to this program. They will only take a referral to this program from one of their referring partners. This is a program that will take a low-risk emergency need type of family. So the way it works with the Homeless Coalition, and if a family is homeless, they have to sort of go through this one pipeline and register, kind of be in the system. And then they get rated 1 through 10. And if they're very high risk, let's say there's mental health concerns or substance abuse, they're chronically homeless, they'd be rated at about a 10. So, and the 10s are what get housed, and they get the services more often. And so Volusia County Human Services, under direction of Clay Jackson, really recognized this and really wanted to help the families that were lower risk, that were getting bypassed for those chronically homeless 10s. There was a lot of 2s and 3s that were waiting on lists. So that's why he targeted his funding in this way. And so it's great for our students, because it might have been a situation. They're not necessarily chronically homeless, but situationally, circumstantially homeless or facing homelessness. To date, we've referred nearly 20 families to this program successfully. And it really, again, case management approach, it helps them get jobs or higher paying jobs, establish better credit and savings so that they can be more economically self-sufficient. We obviously have a strong partnership with Hope Place, Halifax Urban Ministries, and Food Brings Hope. During COVID, Zoe and I emptied our food pantry in the center and donated it to Food Brings Hope. The last thing I wanted was for our food pantry, for everything to expire on the shelves, and we knew we had hungry families. And we were referring our students to Food Brings Hope, VCAN 2020, because they never stopped service. They never stopped delivering food to doors, churches, wherever needed. Whoever called or texted that number got a delivery through VCAN, and that's where we were referring our students, who would normally come to us for lunch almost daily. And so we donated all of that food to them as it was, you know, a couple months out from, to make sure nothing expired on our shelves. So we maintain a great relationship with them. And then Pace Center for Girls is a special program. If you're not familiar, it's a higher risk girls only program in Daytona High School. Very small class setting, a lot of support. They get counseling and case management and a lot of wraparound care and support at Pace. I came from that sort of environment prior to this position, so I know that world. And so we have a special relationship with Pace because actually it was circumstantial when I was there, because I was in between staff members. So I was at Pace doing some recruitment for Fresh Start. I came in contact with, I know a couple of folks that work over there, and we were talking. And what I realized, St. Paul Basilica in Daytona, and actually they corroborated with their Orlando, they wanted to scholarship their Pace girls at Daytona State. So we sat down with the foundation and academic advising and St. Paul and the Pace leadership, and we developed a scholarship plan for Pace girls that graduate high school, attend our Fresh Start program that during the summer, right before fall. And because these girls are full financial, they're all Pell eligible. They might also be homeless exemption waiver. They might be on a homeless exemption waiver, or they might be on a foster care exemption waiver. So we know they're going to get a lot of financial support. We wanted to make sure we didn't just put another scholarship on their account and just have all this cash on hand, which can sometimes, you know, less guidance, more cash. You can fill in the blanks. So Fresh Start can help with that process, opening a savings account, the financial literacy, but also their scholarship that they got wasn't just money on their account. It was for a full meal plan, all of their books and supplies that they would need for their program. So the idea behind that was, if they're here and they're eating and they're getting three meals, they're likely going to class, using our study rooms, using the writing center and things like that, where they can spend the day here. Because we find that they spend the day here anyway. It's where they can get their internet. It's where that they get their services, their social life becomes, you know, all of that. That's really been, we've piloted that right before COVID, saw some success, and we're getting ready to have a couple more PACE girls in this summer's Fresh Start class. So that's been successful. Any other questions?
I would like to apologize for not coming to your graduation at 10 o'clock this morning, as we usually do. I think the last one or the one before that, President Tom and I came and we gave a little speech, and it is just amazing to see the people, where they came from and how they got, and the folks that you've got training them. And it's a family. It's not just an education. We were amazed. We just happened to be walking through the garden and came to your graduation, and it was fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the class takes on a life of its own. Every class has something special. We couldn't tell the students this, and I wouldn't broadcast this or advertise this, but this class, we had 8 students that completed this workshop, and it turned out that every single student was awarded a scholarship, was eligible and awarded. So 2 of them were MOSI, one of our tools for success, which is, and then Daughters of American Revolution and Ponce Inlet Women's Club. It kind of worked out that way. We never say that to students. We don't want them to think it's the expectation that they all are. There's always students in every class that are eligible for scholarships, and we're able to help them through scholarships. But this was the first time, and I have to tell you, and the other piece about Fresh Start that makes it so incredible, because you've heard their stories at the luncheon. These folks have been through a lot, and they want change. That's it. They want something different, something better, and they find it here, and you heard them. But oftentimes, in every single Fresh Start class, there's at least 1 or 2 students. There's always been at least one that's in an academic default. So what we started to do, and like you said, my team is amazing. Sherry started, when they apply for Fresh Start online, it's this online submission, she calls them within 24 hours, and she's getting the story, and they're finding out, and she's finding out right there if they are, because she starts working on with them right then and there. So we have many success stories where students are starting to work on their academic default, you know, healing from that, you know, like the payment plan and getting on the plan and getting that cleaned up, so that, and oftentimes even before they graduate Fresh Start, they're financial aid eligible again. And so that was something that I know, you know, we had a position for that here in at the college, but it's sort of something that just sort of naturally evolved, because we heard the stories. We knew that some of them were in, you know, academic default because of a medical issue or whatever it may be. So we were able to pick up that ball and be a resource even to financial aid, to say, if you're sitting with a student who's not financial aid eligible, send them to us and we'll spend some time with them, getting them through so that now they're financially eligible and they're ready again. And in the meantime, they're getting all the employability skills and life skills and literacy skills.
Hearing some of the stories from your staff, it's not just here on the college grounds. They take it home with them. They make the phone calls. They do virtual with them. Even though they're not on the payroll, they care. The students call them at home. They have a crisis. It's just an amazing, amazing, I could go on for about an hour like you just did, but your staff, they don't quit. There's no quitting it. Saturdays, Sundays. One young lady I know, 10 o'clock at night, was dealing with one of your students. It's just an amazing program.
Thank you.
Karen, you mentioned a lot of it was grant, or all of it was grant funded. Are they all grants that you can continue to apply for, or do some of them have, you know, 3 times and that's it?
Okay. The one, the OVW, Department of Justice, that's a 3 and done. We're on grant, we're on number 2 of that one, and we're in year 2 of 3. So, and that's an interesting one, because there's a lot that we can do with that grant. If we were to rewrite for that a third time, there's a lot we can do with the residence halls and safety equipment, things like that. There's a lot of versatility. And the first time we had that grant, lived in campus safety, and we were able to get lighting and equipment and things like that, and do some great programming at the college. So there's a lot of versatility with that one. You know, I should have an office in the grants department. I'm there, well, now we're virtual, but I mean, I was there all the time. I had, you know, went through a lot of shoes walking back and forth from building 300 to 100 to get to grants. So I'm always, you know, what about this? What about that? You know, we're watching the needs. But Fresh Start is Perkins funded, and New Directions is Perkins funded, and Sea Campus is the federal funding. So that's one that we work hard. Our grants team is amazing to make sure that we continue to get the funding. But again, it's, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. So it's not to say we couldn't get a different one or we wouldn't get it sometimes. We might, but we're at the mercy of our teams here to write a strong proposal and have the objectives and meet our objectives and do what we said we'd do.
Yeah. And do you see demand stable, increasing right now in terms of, you know, students that apply for Fresh Start or?
We've tried different things. So we have six classes going. So there's some classes that, like the summer class might be a heavier one because it loads up into fall, where like mid-year when it loads more into like a, you know, a spring B type of thing, that's not a class that has a lot of, you know, it really just depends on the season and what's going on in the just holidays and times of year, what's going on with the kids in school. It's very community, you know, so I don't ever see the need going away. What's interesting about Fresh Start is that we're doing, so we saw Tech Hire, we had the grant Tech Hire, and now we have Upskill Now. Those came out for the same need that we have Fresh Start for, you know, so, you know, and we support those programs, and sometimes students will come to us and we'll go, you know, you might be a better fit for Tech Hire, or here's the brochure for Upskill Now. I want you to call them because I think this would be a better fit for you. So we work in collaboration, but really it's the same clientele. Those are 1 year grants. And so we might have a little less right now because we're sort of competing on the same college for the same, you know, students. But it's when those grants close out post COVID, we'll see our numbers go back up.
It's a great program. The video is great. I mean, that just tells the story.
Mm-hmm. I think those testimonials are pretty powerful, and nice to see that they're showing it works. And there, and the one person is the executive director for the Housing Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if you know her. She's amazing. She fled here because of domestic abuse. She fled to this area, and because her parents were in this area, she was featured in our magazine as well. She's a powerhouse. Yeah.
Just a comment and a question. Comment is the creativity that has gone into this whole program is just amazing to me. And the collaboration, and then along with that though too, you really get the strong sense of accountability on the part of the students. I mean, you look at that 3.19 GPA, you know. That's just one example. I'm sure of many examples you could probably talk about of how they have that sense of accountability. One question I had though was on the age range of the students in this. What would you define the range as well as maybe an average or median
for Fresh Start or for the department?
For the Fresh Start.
So that one, we'd say 18. I mean, graduating high school. Prior to my coming on board, this was more geared towards the displaced mobile maker, but that's where the funding was coming from, so that makes sense, but more of the 35 and over. But I come from an at-risk, that's been my world for the last 15 years prior to coming here. I was at Richard Milburn Academy, you know, as a guidance director and campus director of discipline. And so I knew there was a need for our students who are in the schools, who are in Volusia County schools. And so when I would do some recruiting for Fresh Start, I would go to the guidance directors because I used to work with all of them and say, okay, we don't want your AA students know their AAs. Send me your students that keep you up at night that you're thinking, what in the world is this child going to do? That's the Fresh Start student because they'll find a place here. So we love that. But what's beautiful about it is you'll have a 17-year-old that graduated high school in the same room with a 55-year-old who's just been around and around and around, maybe was incarcerated at one point. And so it's not even us standing at the side of the room going, this is what you need to do, and this is what you should do, and this is best practice. They're sharing their stories with, you know, folks that are like, don't do what I did. And that is the most impactful thing, you know, and then they become mentors and they support each other, and it is such a family atmosphere. And so it works, you know, because they tell their stories and it gets pretty intense in there. But it's educate, you know, it is the accountability piece. I'm glad you recognize that. You know, and that's kind of one of my things. And that I come from the sort of the vulnerable populations at risk. And there's really no excuses. If you're going to walk into the center and you need something, you're going to come out with something. But you've got to meet us halfway. We're not giving
it away. If I can tell Gary this story, 35, 40 years ago, my sister, who was the top legal administrator on Wall Street, married and got into a restaurant. And then eventually they moved to Daytona Beach, and she lost all perspective about how to apply for a job. Was she worth it? Always was working at this restaurant. Came to those back buildings when they were way back there. They were block little buildings, and became the secretary to the Daytona Beach Shores. Actually ran the fire department. What you gave her was the go that you can come back. You just don't have to be supportive of your husband. You can be who you were. You gave her not only the learning and the education, but you gave her the confidence to become who she was and ran the fire department for 20 years. They may have had a fire chief, but she ran it. So that I'm going back 35, 40 years when they had the block buildings way in the corner there. Mm-hmm. That's your answer.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, this is so well done, the centerpiece. It just gives a wonderful overview of the program. Does this come out quarterly or?
That comes out annually at the luncheon. So that's why you normally will get it on your seat when you come to the luncheon.
Yes, you're
and
right.
So we didn't get to see each other. Yeah, right. So that's why you got that now.
Marianne's luncheon.
But mention the luncheon when the ladies and men speak. You could just see how much they've grown. And you talk to them and you gave them the ability that they could do anything. Because they came there not having that kind of confidence. Mm.
And that's hard to do.
It is.
And I mean, I get nervous going up in front of that group, and I look at them and go, wow, I couldn't have done that. Yeah. You know, that's a big deal to go in front of 250 people, strangers, you know, in suits. And, you know, it's a big deal.
Tell your story.
Yeah, pour it all out. But what comes out of that is beautiful because they end up getting mentorship or getting offered jobs, and it's amazing. They never thought, they do things that they never thought they'd ever do.
I'd always try to go and talk to each one of them before I left just to tell them how much I appreciated and how much courage it took to share their stories.
Thank you.
Several years ago, who was the lady that you honored that was the artist from New Smyrna Beach?
Shy Morris.
So then after that luncheon, she came to me and asked me to be her mentor in New Smyrna Beach because she wanted to do an art show in the parks there, and I spoke up for her because of what she did here at Daytona State College. No, Edgewater, I'm sorry, Edgewater. And so the city commission at Edgewater said, well, they'll deface all your artwork. She said, no, those are the kids that we're going to use. And so that came to mind several years ago. She was honored by you.
Mm-hmm. She's still going strong. She's doing a lot of murals in Smyrna Beach. What she does with those kids, I mean, that's where it started.
Yeah.
She was taking the kids after school, and she had an after-school program where they were gardening, and they were painting, and they were being creative. She's a foster mom.
Edgewater.
Yeah, she's another powerhouse.
Oh. Well, great. Great presentation. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Yeah.
She will take a 5-minute break, right, Lynn?
Yeah.